have a hunch that you have been sick. I have a hunch that you have possibly had an illness. I have a hunch that you probably have a dis-ease. If you haven't been sick, if you haven't been had an illness, or you haven't a disease, I bet you are sick of talking about it, amen? The whole country is sick of talking about it. It was like a Christmas present to the entire nation. My name's Keith Harcom. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and I'm excited to say to you, Happy New Year. And part of our Happy New Year series is we're going to delve into Dallas Willard's study on The Chosen. In fact, it's not a chosen, it's a series. And this series is the largest crowdfunded TV event ever. And it's an amazing series. If you haven't downloaded it yet, you're going to just download it on your phone, on your Android or your iPhone, just The Chosen. It's an app, and you can watch it on the TV and share it on your screen and all those kind of things. And Dallas has put together this series so that we can experience the life of Jesus. That's nothing like I've ever seen before. And it goes over four different characters in the Gospels that have totally different personalities. Mary Magdalene is one of them, Simon Peter, Thomas, the tax collector, and of course, Nicodemus, the religious leader, the Pharisee, in the Pharisee of the Jews. These four people, these four characters, all have a sickness, an illness, or a dis-ease. One of them has got demons that she wrestles with. And she's the one we're going to talk about today. But the question is, what is your sickness? What is your illness? What is your dis-ease? And how can you live with that this year? What are you going to do with your sickness and your disease? And how are you going to live with it this particular year? On Monday morning, I realized all of a sudden that I couldn't get out of bed. Now, for some of you, maybe all of you, you struggle with that every day. You never want to get out of bed. But as my wife will tell you, I'm one of those annoying people who gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's like, yay, everybody else, wake up. On Monday morning, that was not me. I was laying in bed, cuddled up in a ball, shaking like a leaf with a cold sweat. Oh, what's wrong with me? I can't get out of bed. And I crawled out of the bed, and as I stood up, my throat felt like the inside of a desert father's sandal. As I couldn't, it was all swollen. I felt like I'd swallowed a load of sandpaper from Home Depot or something. I made it to the toilet, and I got to the bathroom and did my thing. I'm like, oh, I look awful. What the heck is wrong with me? And I walked downstairs, you know, one step at a time, you know, kind of thing, like holding on to the banister. And what is wrong with me? I made it to the kettle, made myself a cup of tea to ease up my throat, took some medication. And then my wife suggested I put one of those plastic things in my nose and swirl around my nose for 15 seconds on one nostril, down 15 seconds on the other, and then leave for 15 minutes. Sure enough, I tested positive for, yay! Not COVID-19, not COVID-20, but COVID, the special edition COVID 2021. It's like a Christmas present to everybody. Omicron, Zeta, Epsilon, whatever it's called. I had COVID. I had sickness. I realized I was ill. And it was awful. Mary was sick. Mary had an illness. Mary Magdalene had a dis-ease. In fact, not only was she diseased, she had seven demons that she wrestled with. She was sick and she was not sure whether she knew it or not. In the Chosen series, the series that you download, by the way, how many people have downloaded it and watched it? Not bad. But you're going to download it today, you're going to love it, and I'm going to give you some disclaimers. But we kind of know how it ends, right? The story? Some of you do. Okay. But you didn't get that, you'll get it on the way home. This story has the character Mary as Lilith. And Lilith comes from this place called Magdalene. And Magdala or Magdalene is a place of ill repute where nobody wants to be a part of. In fact, the Pharisees and the Jewish rabbis, they ask God that they never have to go to Magdala. That's how much they don't like it. And Lilith is in Magdala, and she's wrestling with her demons. In the show, this is called the Red District. And nobody goes to the Red District because they know bad things happen there. There's bad bars or bad taverns, and the people that hang out there are not people that you want to hang around with. They're not going to impact you and shape you in a way that would be good for you. Nicodemus is a religious leader. Nicodemus is a professional religious person, and he thinks that he should go to the Red District to cast out these seven demons from Lilith. Now, this guy is a Hebrew. He's from Israel, and he knows that he is chosen. He knows that he is called. In fact, he knows this particular scripture we're going to read together really well. It's in Isaiah is the first text we're going to read. It's in Isaiah chapter 43. I'm going to show it on the screen, but if you're online there, just open up another tab. If you're in the pew, go to your app, go to your tablet, whatever it is. However you read the scripture, Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 4, maybe 1 to 2, something like that. Here we go. He would know this scripture. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. Jacob means Israel, means the kingdom of God, as he would know it. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. This guy knows this is talking about him. He is Israel epitomized. He knows that this text is talking particularly about his nation that he represents. He knows that he knows it in Hebrew, back to front. This is the Tanakh, the teachings and the writings that they had, that they knew in their head. They had it attached to their head. And he knew this one so well. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames won't consume you. For I am the Lord your God. I am Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your firstborn. I give Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. So if you're from Israel, if you were an Israelite, if you were a Jew, especially if you were a professional Jew, if you were a rabbi, you knew this text and it was ingrained in your life. And he would have known this. He would have known this as he went to the Red District that day. When Nicodemus went to the Red District to meet Lilith, he was going to expound or get rid of these demons out of Lilith. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't perform the exorcism that he thought he could. No matter what prayer he did, no matter what he said, he couldn't do it. And Nicodemus felt bad, felt unprofessional. This is in the show, of course. He felt that he perhaps wasn't chosen. Perhaps he wasn't precious. Why couldn't he, the professional religious person, get the demons out of this woman, Lilith? Of course, Mary of Magdalene is a real character. And what do we know of her? We can find in our Bibles. The next scripture we're going to share together is in the New Testament, in the second half of the Bible, Luke chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And this is the first place that she is mentioned, Luke chapter 8. And Jesus is, the writer of Luke is talking about where Jesus is. And it says, now afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. So we know from this text who Mary Magdalene is. It's not just something they made up in The Chosen. This is a real person who followed Jesus. In fact, she was one of the many women who were tending to Jesus and ensuring that his ministry was funded, he was taken care of, and he was fed. By our standards of 2022, these women were disciples. And Mary of Magdalene is always mentioned when they mention the women. She is always mentioned first, Mary Magdalene. So she was definitely a follower of Jesus and would have been around Galilee with these women and with Jesus and following his teaching and preaching as he went around. That's the first thing we know about Mary. Other scriptures we have to help us, to tell us about who Mary Magdalene was, is John chapter 19, verse 25. We see where Mary is. She's at one of the key places. She's at the cross. Standing near the cross was Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas. Clopas was the Roman, and Mary Magdalene. So at the cross, we have the three Marys and a couple of mothers. We know John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was at the cross too. But none of the other males were at the cross. You can say that these were like the real disciples, those who were at the cross witnessing this. So she witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus. She also witnessed the body and where it was laid, the body of Christ and where it was laid. Of course, Joseph of Arimathea, also a religious leader, and Nicodemus took the body off the cross and placed it in a tomb. And Mary Magdalene was witnessing this. She was there. And we know this because it says in Mark chapter 15, 47, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. This is in Mark 15, 47. Later on, it says what she did. So that was Friday. Later on, it says that what else? I mean, this is all four Gospels. All four stories of Jesus say when she goes next. So that was Friday. And then Saturday, Mark 16, verse 1, she says, when Sabbath ended, Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. So we know she was at the crucifixion. We know that she was when the body was placed in the tomb. And by reason and by understanding that she was a follower of Jesus, we know that she was probably at one of the suppers that Jesus gave and one of the many teachings and places where Jesus was hanging out. She was a follower of Jesus. And that's kind of what we've got, right? This woman who gets to witness these things is somebody of ill repute, somebody who is sin-stained, somebody who was known for her demons, somebody who was addicted to alcohol or some substance that made her be distracted for a while. She was obsessed, if you like, with her own disease. But that's not all we know of Mary Magdalene. This obsessed, diseased, sick, this troubled woman got to witness Jesus come out of the tomb on the resurrection day. John chapter 20 tells us what that looks like and tells us about what was going on the day that Jesus was resurrected. I mean, verse 11 tells us about what happened on that evening, that morning, I should say. Mary Magdalene was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been laying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she said. "And I don't know where they've put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her, "Who are you looking for?" She thought she was the gardener. She said, "If you've taken him away, let me know where you put him, and I will go get him." So Mary, the sin-stained, sick, diseased, demon-possessed woman from a sin-stained world, from Magdala, gets to witness the resurrected Christ. That gives us hope, amen? That gives us hope. No matter what city we're from, no matter what country you're from, no matter what place that you're from where people think might be awful, that people might make in jokes, you get to witness Christ. You get to witness who Christ is. You get to witness, no matter what your name is, who Jesus is. There's a place in the movie, in the series, in The Chosen, where they depict Lilith or Mary, Lilith, at the bar. And she's at this bar in a tavern, and she obviously knows the guy behind the tavern, and she looks distraught. She's drained out, and she says to the barman, give me another one. And even the barman, I don't know, in his best counseling voice system, "You don't need this, Lilith. I mean, you obviously, it's not doing you any good." And she's like, "Just give me it." And this guy appears at her right and looks as if to suggest, you know, some other things. And he says to her, "You're not worth it. You smell. You smell." And she looks at him with disgust, and he walks off. Lilith is feeling just weighed down. She's feeling awful. She's feeling drained. She's feeling sick and diseased and possessed by seven demons. And Jesus appears next to her. Of course, Jesus is not bothered about Magdala having a bad reputation or about it being mentioned in religious people's prayers, is he? He walks right up to her and says, "I can help you. I can help you." And Lilith, Mary, looks at him and says, just looks at him and says, "You know, how can you help me?" She takes another drink and walks out of the tavern. And as she walks out the tavern, and the music comes up like in a crescendo, and you can hear and feel her mind running around, and she's like, oh, distraught. She runs out. The drama comes up. And of course, Jesus runs out of the tavern after her, which is a whole nother sermon for another day. He runs out of the tavern after her, and he says one word to her. He says one word to her, which is the same word he said to her at the tomb on the resurrection day. It's the same word that had so much power that made her turn to Jesus. She said one word. He said one word to this woman. What did he say? Mary. Mary. And he didn't say, "Mary." He didn't say, "Come on, Mary, sort yourself out." He didn't say, "Oh, I can't believe he did it again." What was Jesus' intonation in the way he said Mary at the resurrection? What was his intonation in this show, in the Chosen, when he said Mary? Whatever it was, it caused this response for Mary just to break down in tears and fall with her head on his shoulder. And there's no more words left for him to say, because Jesus was there for her. And when Jesus says your name, you go right to Jesus with all your diseases and all your sicknesses and all your demons. Amen? And Mary was there sobbing. Mary was sobbing on Jesus' shoulder as the same way he was. She was at the resurrection. At the resurrection, at the tomb, Jesus said to Mary, Who are you looking for? Oh, Jesus knew who he was looking for. He's Jesus. He's God. Of course he knows who he's looking, she's looking for. But he wanted to hear her say, I am looking for Jesus. And Jesus is there. Come, Mary. I don't care what people think of you. I don't care that people gave you a crappy nickname, Lilith. I don't care what people have said about you. I don't care you come from a town that nobody likes, that people mention in cuss words. I don't care. I don't care what friends you had before that people think about you. I just know your name, and your name is not Lilith. It's Mary. Come. Welcome into my arms. And she bursts out crying. And for the first time in my life, she knows where illness is best. She knows whose hands her sickness is best in. She knows where her demons are best given to. Lilith becomes Mary. Mary is now a part of Israel. Mary is now a part of that text where it says, you are called and I know you by name, which is the whole premise of this show. You're chosen, you are called, and I know your name. Nicodemus says, how can this, what can we do with this woman? There's no way that this woman is in the kingdom of God. There's no way this woman is in Israel. There's no way this woman can be a part of this text. I have called you by name and you are mine. She could now say these texts with power. She can now say the scripture. Others have been given in exchange to you. Because you are precious to me. Verse 4, you are precious to me because you are honored and I love you. Mary now knew these words in Isaiah, which were given to Nicodemus and those of us who call on Jesus. Today, the message for 2022 is simple. You are called by name. Each one of you has a name, and you like the way Jesus says it to you. And Jesus actually knows the intonation best to have for you. It's not in a condescending way, oh, Keith. It's not in, Keith, really? Insert your name here. I love you. Keith, I love you. Jesus knows your name. Jesus knows your dis-ease. Jesus knows your sickness. Jesus knows how you are unwell. In fact, he knows if you've even struggled with demons. What are yours today? What are yours today? What are yours for 2022? Maybe it's not a sickness. Maybe it's not an illness. Maybe it's not a disease. But maybe it's just like a trigger. And you see something, you read something, or your parents or your family say something like, oh, no, that's knocking me off. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to drink another cup of tea somewhere else. What is it for you? And I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to write these down. Maybe you don't write. Maybe you type it on your phone. You text it to your significant other. What is your disease? I'm going to give you a moment to write it down. What is your dis-ease? What is your sickness? What is your illness? What is the demon or demons that you struggle with? And we're going to have communion in a minute, and there's going to be a time when you can think about them and lift them up to Jesus, and you can lift them up to Jesus. And maybe if it doesn't work now and you're like, I don't know what all that was about, maybe you take them home tonight. And before you go to bed, 15 minutes before you go to bed tonight, you lift them up to Jesus. You kneel down at your bed. You kneel down in a place where you pray, whatever that is. And you lift them up to Jesus and say, Jesus, only you can take it. And Jesus' only response is him calling you your name. Not in a condescending way. Not in a way that is judgment. Just saying, Keith. come. I know your name. And you are called. When we give our diseases, when we give our illnesses, when we give our sicknesses to Jesus, his only response is the scripture that he knew so well, that Nicodemus knew so well, the scripture that Mary now knew, which is, I have called you by name and you are mine. One of the ways we remember this is through communion. One of the ways where we share with each other this truth is through taking communion together. And Mary would have been there on the night he was betrayed, the third time he had the Last Supper. And Mary would have been there, and she would have heard the words of Jesus. She would have heard after the supper was over, after the main meal of it was over for Passover, he took bread and he passed it around each other. I'm going to use this little cup here to demonstrate. He used this piece of bread and he took it and he broke it. He said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And they passed it around each other, passed it around the disciples. And each of them, including the women, had and broke bread together. After that was done, he took a cup, a common cup of wine, and he says, drink this, all of you. This is my blood, the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And demons, and illnesses, and sicknesses, and triggers. Do this as often as you remember me. Do it as often as you can. And break bread, and break and have juice together. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Gracious and Heavenly Father, fill this room, fill these people with your Holy Spirit. Fill these elements of juice and bread so that we might experience you anew and afresh this year in 2022. So that we might know you in the power of your body, that we might know you in the power of your blood, that you might transform us from within and without so that we can come to know you better this year and tell others about that. Lord, as we come to these tables, as we come to partake of these elements, Lord, hear our diseases, hear our illnesses, hear our sicknesses. And may we hear your voice. May we hear our name being called by you. We ask all this in the powerful and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.